Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Octavo Singers of Schenectady is more than 80 years old and a community chorus of about 100 singers. The group was founded by the Schenectady Recreation Department with WPA funds during the Great Depression. They perform large sacred works and present their concerts in big urban churches and synagogues. This Saturday, May 3rd at 7:30, Octavo Singers will perform pieces by Mozart and Carl Jenkins of the First Reformed Church in Schenectady. Here now to tell us more is the Octavo Singers artistic director and conductor, Curtis Funk. Curtis, welcome back to the Roundtable. Always good to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Joe. Thanks for having me back.
A delight to have you here. So what's on the plate for Schenectady on Saturday?
Well, we're calling the concert Musical Bookends, and because there's the two halves are just very diverse stylistically. They're both beautiful pieces of music. The first half, the audience is going to hear Mozart's Three Regina Celli, which is the Queen of Heaven. Beautiful pieces written based on an ancient Marian hymn. And then the second half, we're going to totally switch gears and do a Stabat Mater, the Grieving Mother, by Carl Jenkins, who is a contemporary Welsh composer. It's an all-Mary concert, and it's a week before Mother's Day, so we're kind of gearing this toward the moms.
Once you get a theme, I mean, was it the pieces, or you say, oh, this would be good around this time of year, or what led you to these particular pieces?
Everything just kind of came together at once. I absolutely wanted to do the Jenkins. It's only been done in the Capital District here one time before, and I just fell in love with it on first hearing, so I wanted to do that. And then I don't know exactly whether it was me thinking about Mother's Day or me thinking about Mozart, but we ended up putting the Regina Celli's in the first half and came up with this concert of really, really fun music.
It is, you know, I was just reading in the introduction about how this came out of WPA funds originally, which is just, it's fascinating. And it just struck me while reading it about, you know, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we still did that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and if it lasted as long as that,
right,
too, you know, it's kind of a disposable society at this point.
So do you have a sense as to why something like this has lasted as long as it has?
I think people just like to sing. They got together, like you said, with the WPA funds, and then when the WPA funds went away, they still started, you know, kept showing up and rehearsing, and the thing just kind of took on a life of its own. And like you said in the introduction, you know, we're up to 100 members. And again, I think it's just because people have this inherent love of making music.
And the type of works that you like to do are these large, very big sacred works.
Mm-hmm.
That's your repertoire.
Yeah, primarily. And I love those. And the thing that's nice is I've got a huge chorus. We sing in big churches, and we've got these really large pieces. So it's just it's just an effort of monumental effort. And it's so much fun to see 100 people and 100 singers and 15 musicians come together and want to work this really, you know, 2 or 3 hour piece of music. And I've got a really conscientious group. They just love to work. And so every rehearsal is for me is a performance.
About how many performances do you do a year?
We typically do 3 large performances. We do something generally on Veterans Day weekend. And then we always do a Messiah the third Sunday in December at Union College, if we can get the space. And then we do a concert generally the first weekend in May. We used to have a smaller group that we called Octavos Portativo, and we kind of went around and did libraries and that type of thing. But we're getting back toward focusing on the big 3.
Yeah. And how talk a little bit about venue. I mean, these churches are kind of made for this, aren't they? Of having a large choral body to fill the rafters, if you will.
The sanctuaries were definitely made for it. I mean, they've got a nice space in the chancel area where the choir actually assembles, and these large churches also would hold 500 or 600 people. So The sanctuary itself is made for this kind of performance. What's a little tough is when you get these older churches, bathrooms were kind of a second thought.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, when you have a 15 intermission and 500 people, sometimes the math doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
And parking can be an issue, too. One of our favorite places to perform is First Reform, but that's in that Stockade neighborhood, and parking can be kind of a premium on a Saturday night. So we're actually urging our people who are going to attend Saturday to, you know, put an extra 10 minutes into looking for a place to put the car down.
It is interesting because you use it as, you're using it as a venue. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a little sacred work, and it's in a church, so that all makes sense. But, you have to have the intermission, and you have to make do.
Yep, there are the practical considerations.
But it's so nice to have it performed in those places. I mean, that was sort of what they're meant for, right? That's what's so beautiful about it.
Absolutely. And for instance, this church, First Reformed, as you're listening to the music, you can look around and there's all this beautiful woodwork and there's no carpeting in the area, so it's real resonant. And to your right, as you're watching the chorus, there's this huge charter from King George II allowing the church to incorporate. So there's some beautiful, beautiful history in addition to the aesthetics.
So typically your audience, do you know about your audience, the demographics?
I would say the average concert goer for us is probably in their late 50s, early 60s. We're trying to get the families to show up a little more. In fact, we're actually offering a $50 family ticket where you can bring as many people who have the same address as you want, and they max out at 50.
Yeah.
But it's also a pretty devoted audience. I would say our fall and spring concerts, we generally have between 300 and 400 people, and I bet you I recognize 150 of them at each concert. So, in fact, right before the downbeat, I usually do some pre-concert remarks, and one of the first things I ask is how many of you are at your first Octavos concert, and it's amazing how it varies. For the fall and spring concert, there's not a huge show of hands, but for the Messiah concert, I would say half the group is new. So it's kind of interesting how the piece kind of drives who's going to attend as much as the group.
And that's interesting when you think about something like the Messiah, that it's almost you have to do it. I mean, it's expected in the region, a choral group must perform this so people can get their fill.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if I tried to do anything besides Messiah in December, my board would show me the door. And we kind of have squatters' rights on it in Schenectady, so yeah. It's kind of a given that we'll have a full house for that, which is wonderful.
Do you work with, you look at other choral groups in the region that work with orchestras and so forth. How do you do that? Or?
Yeah, we've been doing some collaboration lately. We collaborated with the Schenectady Symphony Orchestra in the fall. Chuck Snyder's the conductor there, wonderful guy. And we did a couple of pieces. We did a Mendelssohn piece and a piece by Wenzel Muller, although the piece is actually attributed to Mozart. And that was a really successful collaboration. We also collaborated with the NACRA Dance Company up in Saratoga. We took a snippet of the Jenkins that we're going to do Saturday and took it up to the Spa Little Theater. And Beth Fechteau, the artistic director of NACRA, actually choreographed a couple of dances to the first and last movement.
So is that collaboration something you'd like to do more of?
Absolutely. I think collaboration is the way to go. I think anybody who doesn't collaborate isn't going to be around much more. The funds are drying up. We're competing for the same audience members. We've got tons of performing groups in this area, and I think the way to kind of bring some order to the chaos is to have the groups get together and collaborate. It's also a lot of fun because you get to work with a different conductor, you get to work with a different set of musicians.
And is there a crossover in the performers? I mean, the people that make up your singers, are they part of other choral groups as well?
Yep. I have a fair amount of people who are in the Mendelssohn Club.
Yep.
I've got a few people who sing with the Masterworks component of Albany Pro Musica. There's a couple other groups where my members cross-pollinate.
And while I understand that's, logistically competition, it still speaks an awful lot about the region that we have that many groups and that strong of a of a presence in the choral community.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's lovely.
Oh, I do too. I think it's great for the audience, but it's equally great for people who want to make music. And I think a big part of that is the fact that we've got, 12 or 13 colleges all within an hour of each other. I think that actually drives that intellectual need for cultural venues.
And you talk about venue, that Union College space is beautiful.
Oh, I love that space. It's great. Yeah. The only downside is, once I get my course up there and once we comply with fire code, I'm actually in a different zip code back on my podium.
Oh, technicalities, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Conducting from afar.
That's right. Well, they get the idea.
That's right. As long as they can see me.
Get them, start to have a little monitor, video monitor.
There you go.
The Octavo Singers will perform Mozart's three, it's three Regina...
Celli.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Queen of Heaven.
And Carl Jenkins' Stabat Mater at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady, New York on Saturday. That's this Saturday, May 3rd. At 7:30, and you can get more information by going to our website. We have all the links there, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Curtis Funk is the artistic director and the conductor of the Octavo Singers, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us and tell us what the Octavos are up to.
Oh, thanks for
spending
some time with me, Joe. I appreciate it.
A delight. Thank you very much, and best of luck for this weekend.
Thanks.
Again, you can find out more information at wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.